So I'm going to open the Word of God, and you're going to stand together with me as we read what God has to say from His awesome Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Father, your Word is truth. Sanctify your word. Let it live within us. Let it manifest in great miracle answers to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've all experienced traumatic events in our lives. Sometimes they're so painful we try to lock those memories away so we don't have to think very much about them. Everyone's had those kinds of experiences. The Holy Spirit's saying to everybody, I want you to invite me into every room of your heart. That's what he wants to do. So my first response to that kind of a statement would be, well, that sounds great, but I don't know what every room in my heart is. His response, every day that you've been alive, I want to sprinkle healing over every single day that you have lived and breathed. So until there are no more traumas, difficulties or negativities that remain in the way that you do life in the future. He wants to be a part of everything and all that we are. So how do we do this? He said, well, we can do this journey together through the help of the Holy Spirit, who's not only the one who empowers us, but counsels us. We can unravel some of those concepts that we've allowed to get fixed in our thinking and that need adjusting. And some here, through unintended circumstances, you may feel that your parents betrayed you by giving away something that you treasured, or some grew up believing that you could not fully trust your parents to meet all of your needs. Some have transferred that into other relationships, believing somehow that others just can never be trusted. And often as young children, people don't fully grasp the concept of an all-powerful, all-loving God. So many just project their mother or father's personality traits or character traits onto the Father himself or God himself and try to look at Father God through the prism of the personality and characteristics of their own dad and mom. And even as we mature and our understanding of God expands, hidden childhood and even adult traumas can cast a shadow on how we view our Heavenly Father, and then that can distort His identity and revelation of who He is in our lives. We need to invite our Heavenly Father into all of our losses, everything that we've experienced, all the things that were not done for us, and all the things that should have been done for us. We may have had a parent that could never say, I love you. Needs that were withheld create trauma, as much as things that were physically or verbally done to us. Father wants to come in and heal every memory because He loves us. It's His primary, His first and foremost work to be invited in to heal our broken hearts. One of the first things Jesus said, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. And this very well at the table of the Lord can be the service where there's repentance for a lack of trust of others, a lack of trust that carried over into your view of God, resulted in an inability to fully trust your Heavenly Father. Can I trust Him? I'm skeptical of Him. See, a prayer that says, Father, I repent of not trusting You, not trusting that You are only good, that Your desire for me is only a benefit. Thank You for restoring to me the innocence I lost as a child. Thank You for restoring to me the faith that You are only good. And it starts by inviting God into every room of your heart. David cried out, I will praise You, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Your name forever. So you get a picture here of David's worship style, where he obviously had invited God into all the rooms of his heart. Amen? Our hearts become divided when we lock stuff out of our memories. Some parts of our hearts are full, and they're alive, and they're passionate, and other parts carry pain and trauma that's never been healed. We want to become whole so we can worship God with all our hearts, with everything that is within us, so we can bless His holy name with everything that lies within us. The division within our own hearts becomes a survival mechanism. When we endure extreme trauma, we compartmentalize our hearts and we stick things in various spots. That helps us to cope and to continue to seemingly live what we might call a normal life. It's only when we're willing to deal with those traumas that we can be ready to move into the deeper things of the Lord, where our worship is in spirit and in truth. Transparency. Irenaeus, the bishop in the second century, said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." Fully. To be fully alive, we have to invite the Father into all the rooms of our hearts. That includes the places of pain, shame, places we've hidden so very well, so we ourselves scarcely know they exist, but they do trouble us because our subconscious has not forgotten them, and our subconscious constantly affects our conscious actions, and it percolates under the surface even when we're not fully aware or awakened to what it is the subconscious is trying to say or do. We know that something is awry and amiss somewhere deep inside the recesses of our beings. That includes the pain and the shame, the things that we have hidden. And Father is already in those dark and painful places. He's already entered those places. His desire is to bring healing to every day we have lived, from the moment we drew our first breath. He wants to set His children free so that we're fully alive and no longer carrying around regret and sorrow. Father wants us to carry hope instead of distrust and skepticism. And we have to let hope spring anew in our hearts every day so we can see ourselves through the lens of the purpose and the future that God has for us. Not only are my sins forgiven, but now I have a revelation of what I'm to become serving Him. We have hope springing new every single day when we're living with a transparent relationship with the Father. We see ourselves in purpose. We see ourselves full of promise for opportunity. We see ourselves in line for the provision that God has promised. With God's help, we need to be healed of traumas and hurts, because science has now proven that some of the things that you have been wounded concerning inwardly start to affect you physically and outwardly, because we are a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. What affects one affects the other. So if I've been traumatized, if there's been stuff that's happened to me inwardly, if it's not dealt with, it can easily begin to do damage to you physically and shorten your life, because it takes such a toll in your life when you're not dealing with issues of trauma. I was looking at some articles related to that, because this is such a high-profile type of issue, particularly for some of our people who serve us in the military. And you look at what they call post-traumatic stress and how to minister to the people who are suffering from that. And with all the kinds of issues that people have faced in times of war, in losing their friends and associates, and then now, of course, seeing that some of them come back with such severe physical wounds, but they come back also with such emotional wounds. So when we look at this, David, the scripture talks about his worship, and looking at this article, we recognize that David was one of the most traumatized guys in all of the scripture for some of the stuff that he had to endure. Trauma is a disorder. It affects our bodies. It affects our thinking. It affects our brains. People who've been traumatized, they can see in the way that they begin to CAT scan the brain and how it functions and what's been traumatized in it a traumatic incident happens, images are seared into the brain, and they physically and emotionally begin to do damage to the victim. It's known as a soul injury, brokenheartedness. And a huge portion, of course, is the time when we come before God in prayer and ask God to declare his purposes and his promises over our lives, remembering that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen? That's what he came to do, to set at liberty those that are held in bondage, because we have now about 22 of our veterans committing suicide every single day. We have 1 to 2 active duty military personnel committing suicide every single day. And the researchers have discovered this. It's caused by a spirit of suicide that comes after the people who've been traumatized. And they're not possessed by those spirits. They're simply allowing those spirits to speak to them. And when they're receiving those thoughts, they begin to become convinced those are their own thoughts, because trauma has opened the door for the enemy to come in and torment people. And until the wound in the soul has been healed, there's an open door there, and they can come in and make any suggestion they want, even the suggestion that your life isn't worth living any longer. God wants us to carry hope, not shame. God wants us to carry peace, not trauma. Amen? We need to be healed of our traumas and our hurts. That's what the table of the Lord is all about. He gives us bread to eat and the fruit of the vine to drink so that we may be well. And if they're not dealt with under the blood of Jesus, those traumas are going to hinder our healing and our wholeness. God is so good, he has declared he wants to restore us to total health, not letting anything hinder us from being fully alive. How many want to live fully alive? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Father wants us to unlock every door in our hearts. And that's scaring some people right now. We have to give him permission to step in and cleanse every room in our hearts. Because every day we've lived, we need him to bring healing to any trauma we've experienced on any of those days. We ask that he cleanses every desire in us that's not of him, that any and every addiction or distraction would break under the power of the name of Jesus, that we would no longer be hindered by past trauma, that we would desire more now the presence of the Holy Spirit to fully envelop and captivate our thought process, even into the subconscious. And that's when the Holy Spirit baptizes you. He goes not just from into the conscious, he goes into the subconscious part of our thinking and cleanses all of that trauma out of that when we begin to express to God what we can't express in human language, but we now have a language with which he's presented us where we can express to God the trauma we had no way of expressing before. Because we've all had disappointment. It's a real emotion. And everybody here has experienced some level of disappointment. Feeling disappointment is not wrong, but when you camp out in disappointment, it'll take you down a path you don't want to travel on. We have to enter into a holy exchange where we give our disappointments to the Lord, and in exchange, he brings hope back into our lives. Disappointment and fear go hand in hand. Disappointment is less likely to plague us when we present before the Lord a relationship that says, I want to be in partnership with you, and I want to end in my life the presence of the spirit of fear. I don't want to partner with the spirit of fear. I want to partner with the presence of God. And you live in hope. Ezekiel had an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord takes Ezekiel to a graveyard of dry bones and asks him some very poignant questions. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered him, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So all of a sudden, something that's seemingly done, dead, gone, forgotten, and incapable of life can be brought back by the power and presence of the Lord. These are dry, hurting places within us, and we need to ask the Father, can this hopeless place in me come alive again? Can it once again live? We need to prophesy to our own dry bones places. We need to prophesy to our own circumstances and call for the breath of God to enter in and declare over the dry, dead places, I shall live. I shall live. That experience is a part and parcel to our worship that we talked about this morning. That's where life comes from, living in the presence of the Lord. We need to prophesy over ourselves and call into being things that do not yet exist. Romans 4 says, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. When we embrace the hope of God's presence, He can resurrect dry places. He can make them live again. We can be whole and complete once again. Does anybody desire to live in the fullness of what God has for you? God restores the hurting, the diseased, the broken places within us so we can fully live again. Hope births life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Proverbs 17, a merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. I've walked around a lot of dry bones in churches through my ministry. A lot of dry bones. They never allowed the Holy Spirit to heal their brokenness. And they've lived in dryness and barrenness and deadness. But when the Spirit of the Lord is once again allowed to come into those areas and breathe life into those dead places and we live again, we have a merry heart and it refreshes us. Amen? We also know the Father wants to heal our hearts and the places in our hearts that have become sick. We need to let go of disappointments. We need to release them to the Holy Spirit. Choose to live in the hope that God has provided for us. And just as there are seasons in nature, autumn arrives and the leaves begin to turn and they fall off of the trees. And then there's the winter and the dry bone barrenness. But that bleak season is always followed by the spring because there's always new life. Amen? And if you find yourself in a winter season, release some hope. Spring. Hope is on the way. God's got something better than this dry season you're in. So we want to give our Father all of our dry places tonight. We're asking Him to breathe over them and bring new life into all our dry bones, all those areas that have seemingly died, where we've had hope deferred, where it seems like we've had to put those dreams on a shelf somewhere and they've gotten dusty and dried out. And we think, well, they'll never live again. Those dreams are old and forgotten. Don't you for a moment allow the enemy to let you think in that direction. You invite the Holy Spirit into that room and say, would you please breathe new life once again into these dead and dry places that I've given up on, that our body will return to health, that we'll live in hope, to prophesy over ourselves that God wants us to live well and not die. And we have to learn in the middle of that to fight the good fight and resist the devil. You see, any one of us can be affected by the spirit world. There are demonic influences. And demons are evil spirits without bodies that are under the authority of Satan. And they are at his beck and call. And while they may not be able to possess us, they can influence us. I was just reading that to you from the article I quoted from earlier, how that as we have had trauma leaves an open door if it's unhealed, and the enemy can begin to suggest and to whisper to the point where we begin to believe that's what we need to do. And he suggests demonic influences can cause sickness, nightmares, unreasonable fear, pain, depression, accusations of worthlessness, guilt, shame, condemnation. Deliverance is the process of being freed from demonic influences. You can live in liberty and freedom. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus has come to bring you life, and that more abundantly. Amen? Abundantly. At evening when the sun had set, says in Mark, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Can you imagine the crowd of people? The whole city is outside this one place where Jesus is ministering to the needs of people. And then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So through the New Testament, we see Jesus casts out evil spirits from the people he encountered as they were being healed. He was releasing them from the demonic influences that were speaking death into them and speaking purposelessness into their lives. And Jesus gave this assignment to every one of us who follows him in Matthew 10, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. We can be free from demonic attack and influence. And the first step is to be covered and protected under the blood covenant of Jesus. You lay hands on yourself and you command anything that exalts itself above the name of Jesus to depart. You have authority over yourself because you belong to the King. And as a member of his kingship, you are a part of his kingdom. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the devil has no option. He has to flee when we resist him. So if you have a sense by the Holy Spirit of influences that are tormenting you and reminding you and just constantly berating you, you need to say a simple prayer over yourself. I command anything to stop attacking me that is not of your word and of the living God in the name of Jesus to halt. If it's a spirit of pride, you have to say, I take authority over pride in Jesus' name. You need to go, stop interrupting my life. Whatever it is that influences you, and you know it's not just a natural inclination, it's a spiritual impact, name that influence. Claim the blood of Jesus' power over that influence. Command that spirit to stop harassing you. And as a believer in covenant with God, you can take authority over any spirit, and you can command that spirit to leave your presence and leave you alone. So the next time the enemy tries to come in the middle of the night and alert you and awaken you and disturb you and cause paralysis of fear to take over you, and you get traumatized because of things, something you're thinking about or dreaming about, you tell that devil to get out of your room and out of your life. Inner healing, repentance, and forgiveness close all those entry points to demonic influences attempting to take you down. And you need to close every door so he's got no opportunity. Give no place to the devil. And perhaps tonight you'll ask someone to come and pray with you and say, would you join me in prayer? Would you pray a prayer of deliverance in agreement with me that the enemy that's been harassing me and tormenting me will cease and stop and leave me alone? In the book of Acts, there were seven sons who wanted to pray the way the apostle Paul had prayed. And it's an interesting passage. And As he begins to pray, of course, there's people who are liberated, they're freed from demonic influences, they're free and free indeed. And as he prays for them, these people exuberantly express the joy of freedom that has been granted them in the Lord. Now, there are others who are observing of this, and they didn't have a relationship with Jesus, nor authority to do what Paul was doing. So God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. You know, I was looking at that in the book of Acts. There are three different things that the book of Acts says about miracles. In Acts 4, they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and realized they'd been with Jesus. In seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. That was the man who was healed at the beautiful gate. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What are we going to do with these guys? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to everybody in the city of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." So notable miracles begin to break out in the book of Acts, where the entire city became aware of the presence and power of God at work. Thank you, Jesus. Notable. Acts 8 says, "And this character followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw." So there's a second passage in Acts where it talks about great, great signs and miracles. So there were things that were extraordinary. And this was happening in the life of a deacon. And they were astonished by the miracles that were happening as he preached the word and shared Jesus with the people of Samaria. And great miracles were happening. The word great is used because it was magnified in their minds and in their hearts, because what they were seeing, they had never seen anything like it before in their city. Then in Acts 19, there's another title or another word for the kinds of things that God was doing. And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So unusual miracles. Things like they'd never seen before. So that handkerchiefs or towels or aprons which just touched his skin were carried away and put on the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Oh, boy, is that powerful or what? Okay? Unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So you're looking at this. So let me go back to Acts 19. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. So even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call in the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Wow, that was notable. Amen. And this became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them, and the name of Jesus was magnified. So God has power over the demonic world, the spirit world, and he has power to heal the dead places in our lives. We need to become aware of the level of authority we carry in any circumstance we find ourselves. Certainly, we don't want to be presumptuous and do something that we shouldn't. We must walk in faith, walk in a relationship with God, know the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we can move in his direction. We have total authority over the enemy in our lives. Let us repent for any way we have allowed the demonic to influence us and keep us under the thumb. When we repent, we are forgiven. That breaks the stronghold of the enemy to have any place or foothold in our lives. One drop of Jesus' blood defeats the adversary. One drop. And if anything comes to our minds while we come to the table of the Lord tonight, anything that we remember, that we recall, that we've been troubled by, that still affects us to this day, that we still haven't opened the door to that room to the Holy Spirit, tonight at his table, repent of anything left in those corners that needs to go. Any sin the Holy Spirit reveals to us. Any mistrust of our Father. And we apply the blood of Jesus not only to certain spots, but to the whole of our beings, the whole of our hearts, around us, between us, and all evil, and the author of evil, in the mighty name of Jesus. We know the blood of Jesus is a wall of separation between us and anything the enemy attempts to do against us. We agree here in the body of Christ, we of Calvary Christian Center, we agree for total victory over in any dark areas in our lives. We need to have total victory, freedom to serve God boldly. There are some here who have post-traumatic stress. You didn't have to go to Iraq or Kuwait, or Afghanistan. You didn't have to join the gang up at Jalalabad of our special operators. Rocket, mortar, rounds coming in continuously. You didn't have to lose your best friend. You didn't have to deal with some of the things that David Bellavia dealt with, one of our speakers from Memorial Day past, who was just at the White House about a week and a half ago. And because he cleared a house using his bare hands to fight off the last adversary threatening his squadron, and put that guy out. And when he was here that time, and he spoke on that Memorial Day Sunday, David was still suffering greatly from post-traumatic stress because of the experience he had in that house, clearing that last house. But you don't have to go to war physically like David Bellavia and then receive the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is the greatest honor you could ever have bestowed on you, and then hope and pray that somehow you find your way out of those dark places, recover completely. You don't have to be on the journey that Lieutenant Colonel Friedman's been on. Sometimes he can't sleep at night because of some of the things that he's experienced in war. You don't have to be on that, having had those kinds of experiences. Just any kind of trauma that you've experienced in life that has not yet been put under the blood can leave you suffering in an area of your life that has been wounded and still needs to be healed. People who have suffered some trauma, some difficulties, without them being bullets flying past you or friends dropping around you, but something that will happen to you that so traumatized you that triggers today of remembrances, of sounds, of certain even rooms in the way they're set up, set off those triggers. And while we come to the table of the Lord tonight, I'm praying there'll be such inner healing and such a flooding of peace brought by the blood of Jesus that any who are suffering here will walk out of here whole and well and healed and filled once again with the fullness of the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. And the question then becomes, do we want God to heal us? And if you do, you'll have an incredible breakthrough tonight. The Father can heal everything and every one of us, no matter what we've been through. Any trial, any trauma, any bout of depression, any setback that's left us shaken to the core. And there is no human that can fix that. There's only one who stood up in a synagogue and declared to the audience, I am anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those who've been captive, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So where do I go? Will the VA help me? Will denominational headquarters counsel me out of this? Well, all that is good and helpful, because in some way they can help you if they've had physical trauma to regain some of your momentum and mobility and capacity. That's great. Thank God for that. Then there are some that can help you with some psychological things that you need to change about the way you perceive and think. That can be helpful. That can be a blessing. But the most important component of healing is the spiritual component, because no human being can get into this compartmentalization of who we are and go to the very core of the dead spots and bring new life except the Holy Spirit of God. And if you want him to, if you'll just open your heart to him, I've got some dead spots in here, dry bones here, traumatized places, some experiences I had as a child, some abuse I suffered, some difficulty I went through, and I just kind of tried to find a way to shove it under the rug and lock it down and go on my merry way and hope that I would be free from it. But I admit, I need to get this washed, cleaned, and healed. And when I make that admission, I can be well, and I can be whole. Now, you get to choose. You get to keep the old dead dry bones, or you get to be fully who God intended you to be by cooperating with him or resisting him. So I pray a prayer like this. Father, I confess there's been a loss. There's been a trauma, an injury to my soul. I've suffered some abuse or some abandonment. The abuse may have taken the form of physical or verbal or even sexual. And there are triggers that set those traumatic places in my life off. Do I confess I have some resentment? And I say to you, it's not pleasing to you to harbor that. Not when you've given me the opportunity to walk away free. And you say to the Lord, so I repent of my anger, my bitterness, and my pride, and any unforgiveness I have felt toward myself or anyone else who's caused me pain. And I confess before you tonight and repent for taking into my life the feelings of rejection and despair and allowing them to take root and believing them. And I choose to turn away from these negative emotions and ask you to forgive me and heal me, having cooperated with them, allowing them to take root. And I thank you that the blood of Jesus has destroyed the works of the enemy in my life. And I take authority over every evil influence affecting me. Thank you that no weapon he's formed against me shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Come on. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Praise God. We love you, Lord. And we bless you, Jesus. What a good God we serve. Amen. So while we're taking our places and those that are serving are taking their places. I want to remind you a little bit about who you are in the name of Jesus tonight. If you've been traumatized, you need to ask the Lord at the table of the Lord to heal you, to declare forgiveness over anyone who was involved in your injury, to cancel every satanic assignment that the powers of darkness have against you, to ask God to heal you in the wounds of your soul. When you pick up that bread and take that cup, find relief. May you be released from the prison of negativity and captivity associated with those experiences and actions. You identify yourself today as a child of the Most High, living God. And when you pick up that bread and pick up that cup, you declare before God, I am strong, for God has given me power and strength that's beyond my own, that I am valued because Jesus purchased me at a very high price, that I'm unique because God formed me intricately and specifically in my mother's womb, that I am His workmanship, I am His masterpiece, prepared for good works to be done in this world by Him, that I am loved, that God loves me and has drawn me to Himself with an eternal, everlasting love and care for me, that I am important, I am chosen, I am a royal priest, I'm a member of His God's holy nation, I am His specific possession. You need to remind yourself of who you are and that you are forgiven. He has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. That I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. He has birthed in me not only a new person, but given me a name in glory that only He and I know together. And I'm protected. He watches over me, and He never slumbers or sleeps. He keeps His eye always on me in protection. I'm empowered to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I am chosen and set apart and appointed to go and produce lasting fruit because God has willed that I be productive in serving Him and not unproductive, but one who produces. And to be productive, I need to be a healthy plant. And the way God puts it, it's so beautiful, and I have to read it to you. This is the way God sees you when you're whole. Because your delight is in the law of the Lord, God's word, and in it you meditate day and night. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. And then he says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous and blesses you. And he says, your leaves shall not wither, and whatever you do, prosper. But you've got to be healthy, because if your plants are unhealthy and diseased, they won't produce good fruit. I don't want any of these diseases that the enemy's tried to thrust upon me to keep me from being everything God wants me to be. How about you? How about you? Who wants to be well tonight? Does anybody want to be well? Come on, lift your hands and ask Him tonight to make you whole again.